Hi, Gia.
Hi.
So happy to get to speak with you, especially on a film as beautiful as The Last Showgirl.
Thank you.
You have done an amazing job with this film. And so much of it, the emotion we get through your visuals. Pamela gives an incredible performance. Jamie Lee Curtis is unforgettable. Her Total Eclipse of the Heart dance is to die for. Dave Bautista, this is something we've never seen from him, and it's glorious. But all of this is brought to life thanks to your visuals, the cinematography, your work with Autumn in designing your visual grammar, and also then subsequently with your editors and putting together some of these beautiful montages. You have truly captured a moment in time that is no more in Las Vegas. I went to so many shows in Vegas in the 80s and 90s, it's not even funny. So for me to see this and what you, the story you are telling, is emotionally exquisite. So I've got to ask you, I really want to focus on your visuals here and your visual tonal bandwidth in your work with Autumn. How did the two of you design your visual grammar? Because it is so soft, it is so beautiful, and it is so handheld and fluid.
Well, I mean, Autumn and I are best friends. We did Palo Alto together, and mm-hmm. we've been working together ever since. I mean, now she's gone off and does Ryan Coogler and Marvel movies, but I'm so fortunate she's willing to come back and do my little movies. But I really, you know, our method of working, because we're so close, I mean, there's a lot of sort of telepathic communication, and we communicate a lot with just, like, random photos that I send her, and she just, like, knows how to translate and what I mean. But I really just, like, let her do her thing while I can, like, focus on my actors and the story. But we were really adamant that we wanted to shoot this movie on 16mm film. That kind of grain and rawness to this world was important, and also this kind of underlying metaphor of, like, the analog versus the digital, like, the kind of being nostalgic with our textures. But she really designed the lenses. She felt like it would be interesting to do it on anamorphic, and then she created these lenses with Panavision to have that kind of edge distortion and give it this kind of dreamy world and focus in on the character, because that's what this is really about. This is, you know, a character-driven story, you know, the lighting and the handheld was really just out of circumstance of having to forego a lot of our budget in order to shoot film. So she had to do a lot of handheld, unfortunately. But, you know, I think that also helped our efficiency, too, because we only had 18 days and we had to move fast. So
Think it adds a lot to the film also, Gia, going handheld, because we really get a verite sense here. And with the 16mm and the visceral texture that we get, we feel the history. And we feel the uncertainty. Anytime you've got that handheld like that, there's a sense of urgency or uncertainty. And that's what we get in Shelley's entire life. And the whole idea of the final razzle-dazzle show. And it plays right into the film's entire metaphor of out with the old, in with the new. Mm-hmm. You know, you're on shaky ground as things are changing.
Well, that's what I love about movies is that, you know, the audience and you guys, you come up with these beautiful relationships to the choices that I'm like, yep, that was preconceived. I'll take it.
Well, for my money, you've preconceived everything wonderful about this film. So even if you hadn't, you really have.
You think maybe it was a self-conscious, self-subliminal.
The editing here, your montages are a big part of this. It really adds to the dreamlike nature of Shelley and the past, the potential future. Were all of those montages, did you plan those out, or did they come about once you had all the footage and you were sitting there with your editors?
It was a little bit of both. Like, I knew that because this was a play, like, I wanted to make space for just, like, making Las Vegas its own character. Mm-hmm. So when the day was done, Pamela and I would kind of go around Las Vegas and just shoot her exteriors and sort of B-roll. But I sort of was discovering that, like, as you said, like, you know, Shelley is a dreamer. That tone of dreaminess is sort of overtaking us. And, you know, I think also her form of grief was sort of coping in her body and form of dance. And so those little moments I was discovering in the edit room were kind of becoming more meaningful than the sort of initial plan of attack.
Mm-hmm. Complementing everything is your score and your needle drops. The music is sublime, Gia. Sublime. What was your collaboration with Andrew Wyatt like? What were you looking for musically, especially with the variations of musical notes and tones? You know, right after the Shelley's fight with Eddie, at like the hour mark, we get a very 1950s melodramatic kind of beat in there. We've got so many different genre notes, but decade notes as well. So I'm curious what you and Andrew were going for.
Vegas is such an interesting city visually and, like, sonically. You go to this space and there's always sound. There's always, it's such a sensory overload place. There's always sound, there's always smells, there's always visual, like, litter. So that was really important to me. Like, how can you capture what Vegas sounds like in its own meaningful way to him and representing our story? And kind of, again, going back to the analog versus digital, like, it was really important to sort of do this with an actual orchestra, not just, like, and real instruments and not just sort of synthetic synthesizers. But, you know, he's like a mad scientist, so, and he speaks music so well, so I really wanted him to run with it. And he understood the characters and Shelley's, you know, dreaminess, her sort of, you know, fantasy, lullaby, twinkly nature, but there's always kind of an undercurrent that was haunting at the same time and sobering. And then, you know, choices like Total Eclipse of the Heart was really just stemmed off of, you know, Jamie was observing the real bartenders in the Rio Casino where we were filming, and they every so often get up and dance or sing on these podiums. So I had asked her if she would be willing to dance. And I guess she didn't think I was serious, but she gave it her all, and she gave so much energy and gusto to this performance. And she had said, oh, well, if I'm going to do this, Annette's song is Total Eclipse of the Heart, because she had heard it playing in the casino. So when she gave this amazing performance, I was like, and it was only one shot, one take. I was like, well, I have to use this now, and I have to find a way to get Total Eclipse of the Heart on our shoestring budget. But, you know, you write letters and so forth, and it's such a great song because it adds, like, a pop kind of energy and a break, but it also has a lot of heartbreak and soul and is sort of in the vein of what this sort of tone of this movie is. So I think as an audience, you kind of get a levity break, but it's still not, you know, a 360, 180 away from what this movie is. You know, the Miley song, Andrew collaborates with Miley, but she has such a timeless voice, And it kind of goes back to this notion of, like, how do we foster the old and new together? And she is sort of a modern contemporary singer, but mm-hmm. she has so much nostalgia and timelessness in her voice. And to have a song that, like, lyrically represents our movie was important.
What did you, as a filmmaker, what did you learn about yourself as a filmmaker in making The Last Showgirl that you can now take forward into your future films?
I think what I've really learned, you know, I became a mother in the genesis of this project, so I feel like I kind of birthed two babies. But I really learned that, like, nothing really scares me unless my family's happy and healthy, and so, like, challenges on set are really feel like a privilege and like playtime, and it's just a problem solving. And I feel like in that I was then able to really trust myself and my own instincts. And I think, you know, motherhood also forces you into that. So I feel like, I've learned to trust myself and turn down the dial of self-doubt. You know, it always happens, but you have to sort of know that that's what it is.
Don't ever doubt yourself, Gia. This is a beautiful, a beautiful film. And I said, it is emotionally exquisite. You have done an amazing job. And I can't wait to see your next one.
Oh, goodness. Me too.
Thank you so much, Gia.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.